The latest novel by David Ignatius, a writer for the Washington Post, begins with the head of the ISI, the Inter-Services Intelligence, the Intelligence Service of Pakistan. This fictional character, General Malik, wants to know something from the CIA, so he calls in an American intelligence agent for a conversation.
"Well then," he said, "I have a question for you. Normally I would not trouble you late in the afternoon with such a detail, but this one is rather important. I hope you will forgive the imposition and apologize to Mrs. Barkin for delaying your return home this evening. Mrs. Barkin lives in Washington, General. I don't know if I can give you an answer, but I won't tell you a lie." General Malik smiled. Americans did not like lying to others. It made them uncomfortable. Their specialty was lying to themselves.
And with that scene, David Ignatius begins the novel Blood Money. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Steve.
And the question that is on the mind of that Pakistani general is, are Americans conducting covert operations, intelligent operations on our soil without our knowledge? Which turns out to be an incredibly relevant question for right now. What got you thinking about that?
Well, when I wrote the book, I knew that there were unauthorized, undisclosed CIA operations in Pakistan. Anybody who spends any time covering this beat, as I do, finds that out. And I just began to be curious about how you'd go about conducting the operations, how you'd run them clandestinely from the United States. And the more I got thinking about these unauthorized operations, the more it seemed to me that this was a metaphor for our relationship, each of us sneaking up on the other, we not trusting the Pakistanis, they not trusting us, each, to be honest, having good reason for the mistrust. And I began to spin a story of a relationship really beginning to go out of control.
We should spell this out for people. In the novel, and apparently in real life, you have Americans slipping into Pakistan. Ordinarily, they would collaborate with the local intelligence agency because, in theory, Pakistan is an ally, but they don't know if that local intelligence agency is going to give them up. So they were simply going in quietly for their own purposes.
It's happening in the novel. In real life, you have a distinction between the declared officers who were either openly declared to the host service or easily discoverable. And then you have other people who were under much deeper cover, who typically operate with commercial platforms. And in this novel, I imagine a whole new secret wing of the CIA, unable to mount clandestine operations around the world, decides to hide itself. I've invented this kind of entertainment business front in Los Angeles called the Hit Parade, in which CIA officers are hiding.
So the beginning point for this novel is something you've heard about that's rarely discussed in public. It's supposed to be covert, but it has emerged into the news again and again all year long.
Yes, we saw with the Raymond Davis case, which I have to say was eerie for me to watch because it does track elements of my book. Raymond Davis was a CIA contractor who was on the streets of Lahore, Pakistan, when he shot and killed two Pakistanis who appear to have been trailing him or in some way harassing him. And it turned out that he was part of a capability that really had not been disclosed to the Pakistanis. And as best we know, he was there as part of a surveillance and recruitment operation. So here's this real-life CIA contractor who's arrested by the Pakistanis, who it turns out is part of a whole capability not known to the American public, not known previously really to Pakistan. And at the end of the day, he's released through a payment of blood money, a sum of money which is given as a gesture of respect after the death of an adversary.
Let's talk a little more about the intelligence agency in Pakistan. You have written recently, as others have, using the phrase double game for what Pakistan is doing, working with the United States, working with militants. You've even said double game might be too simple a phrase.
Well, I think that there's some truth to that with the ISI. The ISI is always playing both sides of the fence. It's always working as the partner of the United States, and it's always pursuing its own interests as it defines them. It's always hedging its bets a little bit. I have to say, that's not really very different from the way that the United States behaves. We conduct joint operations with the ISI, but there's a lot that we don't tell them. We declare most of our personnel inside Pakistan, but there's a lot, turns out several hundred, that we don't tell them about. We reserve the right to attack our enemies using overhead predator drones, and we, as a measure of cooperation, we provide what's known as concurrent notification. Concurrent meaning after the missile has been fired and the target has been incinerated on the ground, then
meaning
we'll tell
you, asking permission, we're letting you know what we're doing.
We're telling you what we just did.
Does it have to be that way?
To some extent, it does. I mean, let's be honest. Intelligence services exist to do things that are illegal abroad. They exist to tell lies. That's what Title 50 authority that the CIA has. It's the authority to conduct operations that the government will then deny ever took place.
When you think about the tortured relationship between the United States and Pakistan, as awful as it is, as angry as people end up at each other, as threatening as they sometimes are, and certainly are at this tense moment in some cases, is the relationship actually working about the way that it has to, given the difficulties of the situation?
These are two intelligence services. They're going to lie to each other. They both need each other. And I think the great challenge that I know our intelligence officers are thinking about full-time is how to draw Pakistan into a process of really finding a way to bring the Taliban to the table. The Taliban is as tired of this fight as anybody. Osama bin Laden, who symbolized the need to resist, is gone. There is an open pathway. You can see it right in front of you. You just have to find it and then find a way to go down it.
The writer is David Ignatius, a newspaper columnist. His latest novel, which keeps getting overtaken by the news, is called Blood Money. David, thanks very much.
Good to see you, Steve.
From NPR News, this is Morning Edition, edited by Greg Myrie and Chuck Holmes. The editorial staff includes Rina Advani, Shanita Anderson, Jordana Hochman, Miranda Kennedy, Mike Kennedy, Laura Krantz, and Maeve McGoran, with Nina Gregory at NPR West. Our senior supervising editors are Kitty Isley and Shannon Rhodes, and our executive producer is Madalika Sicca. The executive director of news programming is Ellen McDonald. Morning Edition's theme music was written by B.J. Lederman and arranged by Jim Pugh. With Steve Inskeep, I'm Renee Montaigne.